Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every one that's been able to be here today. And now, Father, as we look into your word, we just ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts and our minds. And Lord, like it was in the scriptures when you were on the road to Emmaus and you spoke with those two disciples, and it says, and then you opened up their understanding. That's what we need for you to do today. Open up our understanding. Sometimes it's difficult to understand your word. And so, Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to do just that. Open up our understanding to each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was thinking about those prayers that you and I grew up with. I didn't realize they were so vivid. You remember the other prayer that went with that? Three little angels around my bed. Does anybody remember that one? One to sing, one to pray, and one to what? Nobody knows that. Carry my soul away. Now, I said to my mother, I said, does that mean I'm going to die tonight? She said, no, honey, it doesn't. I said, well, I don't want to leave tonight. I love Jesus, but I don't want to go tonight. I think y'all can identify with that. We're all ready to go, but there's things we need to do. Oh, I have to get the book of Revelation. You're already there. How many are there? If you're not, you pick up the book in front of you. It's a red one between the psalm books. And it'll get you to chapter 6. Chapter 6 starts with the tribulation period. We already read the scriptures, so if I can have the first horse, I want to talk about the first horse. It says in verse 2, I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and the crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. There we are. Okay, we have the bow, we have the crown, but we have no quiver of arrows here. So this man on the horse is the Antichrist. He's going to try to come with words, diplomacy. He's going to try to rule with diplomacy. He's going to use fancy words. The book of Daniel gives a description of this fierce king, this king of fierce countenance. And he will cause craft to prosper. He'll use fancy words. He wants everybody to rule, to listen to him, because he's a dictator. And so he will start out peacefully. He will start out peacefully. There's another place in scripture that says, when they shall cry, peace, peace, sudden destruction shall befall them. So this rider is the Antichrist. Don't confuse him with Jesus in chapter 19 of Revelation, who will also ride on a white stallion. When he rode into Jerusalem, he rode on a donkey. But kings ride on stallions. He came as a lamb the first time to the slaughter. The second time he comes as a king riding on a white stallion. So this is our first rider of the apocalypse. I want you to picture the tribulation period beginning like a snowball on a large hill. And as the snowball rolls down the hill, it collects more snow and gets bigger. The ball keeps getting bigger, and this is what it's going to be like in the tribulation period. It'll begin very small, but it'll increase in intensity. The further we go through the tribulation period, you'll see the intensity of the tribulation period. This rider, the one that Jesus opened to seal, and there was thunder in heaven, and one of the beasts, which are four of them, there are four beasts in front of the throne. There's four living creatures. Ezekiel chapter 1 gives you a very vivid description of them. Ezekiel chapter 1, sometime when you read Ezekiel chapter 1, others have tried to use that portion of scriptures to verify UFOs. UFOs are unidentified flying objects, but I can tell you that what is in Ezekiel chapter 1 is not unidentified. It is a cherubim, and we have the description there of the cherubim, and there are four cherubims. It's believed that Satan was also a cherub, because Ezekiel 28 speaks of it being a cherub. So we have four horsemen, we have four living creatures, and each of the four living creatures introduce the horsemen. The first living creature says, "Come and see," as Jesus opens the seal, and out released is a horse as they are in their stalls waiting to be released. And the first horse that is released is the Antichrist. The Antichrist begins his reign on earth by signing a peace treaty or protection permit or some sort of a treaty for Israel that after 3.5 years, he changes his mind and rips the contract up after 3.5 years. So right now we have the reign of the Antichrist is beginning. The church is already in heaven. The rapture has already taken place. And we have the first rider of the apocalypse. You with me? He has a bow. He has no arrows. Let's look at verse 3. "And when he had opened the second seal," he being Jesus, opened the second seal. Remember, Jesus got this scroll from the one who sat on the throne, is what the Bible says. He got the scroll that was in the right hand of he who sat on the throne. Well, we know God sits on the throne. So Jesus took that scroll, and as he began to open the scroll, he opened the seals. The seals were like wax seals. And each time he'd open a seal, it would be a new rider. So the first seal Jesus opens is the rider. The Antichrist begins his reign. Verse 3, "When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Red, I believe the red signifies blood. He has a very large sword, so it's going to be wars. The reason for the wars is because Antichrist isn't going to get everybody to participate with his ideas and his plans. It's very simple. Not everybody's going to go along with the Antichrist. And so there's going to be wars. They're going to be fighting. Remember, Antichrist is a world ruler. He wants to rule the entire world. We're not just talking about a section in the Middle East. We're talking about the entire world. He is a world dictator. And not everybody's going to go along with his plans. They're not going to like it. He's going to get opposition. And so this is the beginning of the opposition. There's wars. The horse is red with blood. His peace will be taken from the earth. There's going to be all kinds of wars. Remember, Jesus said it in Matthew. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. This is the beginning of sorrows. It's the beginning of the tribulation period. Verse 5. "When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand." What does black signify in the scripture? We talked about last Sunday. Famine, death, famine. When there's war, there's famine. There's death, there's inflation. There'll be people hoarding stuff like they did for COVID. Just like COVID, there's going to be people hoarding. There'll be a lot of hoarding going on. What are the balances? The balances is the scarcity of food. There's going to be a scarcity of food. The balances, we're told, and the beast tells us what the balances are. Let's listen to what the beast says. "Not only did the beast say, 'Come and see,' and out came this black horse with a rider holding balances, but verse 6 says, 'And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny.'" Now, it's interesting that the King James uses penny. It actually wasn't a penny. We can identify with a penny, but in those days it was a denario. It was a denario. And it was equivalent to a man's full day of wages. A full day of wages was equivalent to a denario. A measure, we got to find out what that was. A measure, some reports less than a quart, but most cases it was a quart of barley. And then to show you the scarcity of food, 3 measures of barley went for a penny. Now, wheat is more important than barley. barley, they usually feed to the cattle, the way I understand it. It was actually grain for animals. But the point is being made is there is a scarcity of food. Now, let me explain something to you with chapter 6. Chapter 7 is like this. Chapter 7 and chapter 6 is like this. So when I'm talking to you about chapter 6, chapter 7, there's also some things going on in chapter 7 that we didn't get to yet. So I'm going to have to share with you some things in chapter 7. In chapter 7, it begins that there are four angels holding four corners of the wind. The reason they're holding the four corners of the wind, north, south, east, and west, is because of airborne particles that are very dangerous. It is particles that cause plague and cause people to get sick and die. And then an angel from the east comes and says to the four angels, hold those winds until I mark the servants of God. So the four angels are holding the winds so they don't blow and continue to spread the plague that's going to be poured out on the earth. They have to hold the wind so it doesn't get poured out until God's servants are sealed. And the angel from the east comes to seal God's servants. What are they going to be sealed for? Because they have a job to do. They're going to witness for the Lord during the tribulation hour. And it'll be because of their witnessing that will cause the great revival to take place in the tribulation period. It will be the multitudes that are in front of the altar. They are coming from all nations, all tongues, all races, all colors. There will be so many that man can't number them. One of the largest revivals in the tribulation period. And they will be one to the Lord because of the witnessing of the 144,000 servants of God that have been sealed with God's seal. Now, this happens in the very beginning, the first 21 months of the tribulation period. The first quarter of the tribulation period is when this begins. Now, not only are God's servants marked, but who else is marked? Who else will receive a mark? Unbelievers. Those who reject Christ will get the mark of the beast. They will be marked at the same time. They'll be marked on their foreheads. We don't know what type of mark it is, but obviously it's going to be visible. God's servants, 144,000, will be sealed or marked on their foreheads. They'll be marked. Now, a lot of people, and I won't get into it, a lot of different, some denominations have tried to prove that they are the 144,000, but in chapter 7, you don't need to go far to see that they are Jews. It says in verse 4, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Then verse 5, 6, 7, 8, all talk about the tribes. 12,000 from each tribe. Without having to read them, you'll see that there are two tribes missing. The two tribes that are missing is the tribe of Dan and the tribe of Ephraim. Now, we obviously see that the tribe of Ephraim was replaced with Joseph, not the Joseph of Jesus' daddy, but the Joseph of the father of Ephraim. So he takes the place of the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Levi. There was not a tribe of Levi. They weren't associated as a tribe. They were the ones that took care of the singing and took care of the tabernacle. They were the priests. They were the pastors. They were the ones that took care of God's work, but they weren't actually considered part of the tribe. But here we see them as part of the tribe. They are included here in Revelation. The tribe of Levi is included. All right. And after this, I beheld in verse 9, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed with white robes, and they had palms in their hands. Okay, now that brings us to the group. That brings us back to chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These are they that got saved as a result of the 144 witnesses that I told you. Chapter 7 has to be part of this because it begins the tribulation period. This is the very beginning of the tribulation period. And so when the fifth seal is opened, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Those that are slain are those that came to know Christ. And so they cry with a loud voice, verse 10, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? These are those that have already been persecuted and killed. They were given white robes to every one of them, and it was said of them that they should rest for yet a little while, for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that they should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. I told you this is the first 21 months of the tribulation period. If that's 21 months, how much further do we have to go? No mathematicians, we got about 5 years to go. We have 5 years of tribulation, folks. Five more years to go. That's why this group that has already been persecuted and died, they're saying, when, Lord, will you avenge our blood? And he says, yet for a little season, till your fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. We're told when a volcano erupts, this is the sort of thing that appears to be. It appears like the sun has become black because of the ash that fills the air and also causes the moon to become red. There's cataclysm, as I told you, just like the snowball that's coming down the hill. It's getting worse. And here we see at the sixth seal, there is a great earthquake. Verse 13 continues on to say, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Now, of course, doing some study, we find that a star, one singular star, it's how big? Anyone know? It's bigger than the earth. One star is bigger than the earth. It says the stars fell from heaven to hit the earth. Well, the Lord's going to have to explode the stars. If it's going to be stars, it's just going to have to break them up when they come and hit the earth because they're too big otherwise. Some say they're meteors. Okay, what's the difference? A broken up star is a meteor, right? So whatever it is, that's what's coming to hit the earth, okay? It ain't rocket science. When the scripture makes common sense, we shouldn't have to seek any other sense, right? All right. That's just some good advice to take. Don't seek any other sense. Don't look at any more commentaries because you'll just get more confused. You'll just get more confused. So the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Are you listening? That's an earthquake. When even the islands of the sea are moved and the mountains move, that's an earthquake. There's going to be some changes on the earth's surface, and you know what? We'll already be in the balconies of heaven. The church has already been raptured. And you know what? You don't realize, but God loves his people so much. He is giving them a chance even in this terrible hour. I see God's mercy. Even in the tribulation period, his mercy is exposed. His love for his people is exposed. He loves his people. He's not willing that any should perish. He's given them all a chance. Other Bible study with when Jesus was in the grave, he went to hell. He went to hell and preached to those that were at one time disobedient at the time or preparation of the building of the ark, Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9. He went to them. They were already dead, And he preached to them. That tells me again of God's love and his mercy. And why did Peter mention it was just that group during the time of the preparing of the ark? Well, that tells me this, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but guess what? Noah was pretty busy. He had quite a job on his hands to build an ark. He didn't have a lot of time for preaching. So that tells me that Peter knew there was a group of people during that time when the ark was being prepared, that these people really didn't have an adequate opportunity to accept Christ as Savior. So Jesus goes and he preaches to them. That's the group that Peter said that Jesus went and preached to. Boy, found some more interesting things out about Jesus. His mercy is everlasting. Are you listening to me? His mercy is everlasting. Oh, we serve a wonderful, wonderful Lord. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Even in the tribulation hour, he's still making people available to become saved. It's just for a little short time yet. It's just for a little short time. Rest for just a little season until your fellow servants also should be killed as they were and should be fulfilled. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and every mountain and Alam were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and mighty men and bondmen and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. You know what's sad? Why didn't they call on the Lord? Why didn't they take the opportunity to get saved? They're calling upon the rocks to hide them, the mountains. They're that bullheaded and self-willed that they don't want to have anything to do with God. Remember, these are those that already persecuted the thousands of Christians. They were involved in it. And now when they see the great upheaval, now when this great earthquake comes and mountains and islands are moved out of their place, now they're finally shaken and they realize what they did to God's people. They persecuted and killed them. And now they see God's displeasure with the great earthquake, and they're realizing that truly these must have been God's people, and we did a terrible thing. But rather than fall on their knees and call on God, they'd rather have the rocks hide them from he that sits on the throne and from the Lamb. How sad. How sad. That's what we read. They said to the mountains, "Fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Ooh, glory. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you here today? You're not here by accident or mistake. You say, "Pastor, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready." Slip your hand up if you don't know if you're ready. I'll pray with you. There's one. Anyone else? Any more? You can put your hand down. I want you to pray this prayer with me quietly, silently to yourself. "Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I invite you today to come and live in my heart. And Lord, be my assurance that from this day forward, I don't need to fear death. I don't need to be afraid. I know from this day forth that I'm saved." Book of Romans says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, Lord Jesus, you can be saved. So you're saved today if you prayed that prayer. And we thank you for being obedient to the Lord today. We thank you for all this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these. In Jesus' name, amen.